If you have your scriptures, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's also up on the screen. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning for your grace. I thank you for your sacrifice by which we are brought from death unto life. Thank you for the second birth that you have given us, and that we are equipped to walk with you. Teach us to walk ever so closely to you. In your precious name, amen. Now, some of your Bibles, perhaps, a different translation. Some translations, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk a life, or walk a walk of love. Learning to walk. Oh. Learning to walk, a part of life. I remember well as my son AJ, he came to us as a baby who could not walk. Boy, could he crawl fast. He was really, really fast. But he couldn't walk. And after he'd been with us just a short while, he was about 8 months when he came to us, he started to stand up. And he'd steady himself on the table or whatnot. You know how it works. And then he'd sit back down, and then he'd start crawling, and he'd be out of the room. He'd be gone. Boy, he was fast. One day, he spied a couple of fly swatters. And he grabbed those fly swatters, and he lifted himself up, and he used those fly swatters like ski poles. And he started walking across the room with these fly swatters, using them to hold him up. He's a smart little boy. And this went on for a couple of weeks. Then one day he threw one fly swatter away. Then he's walking along with one fly swatter, using it to hold himself up. That went on for a few days, and then he flew that away. And then he started running. He'd been running ever since. Terror. He's a terror in his ability to walk, but it took a process to learn to walk. Just as for us, it takes a process to learn to walk with God. A normal part of development is a baby learning to walk, learning to talk. Jennifer has a great nephew that has finally learned to say grandma. And the proudest person in the world is grandma. Oh, he said grandma before he said grandpa, or he can say grandma. It's part of the development of a young child. And if the child does not learn to walk or does not learn how to talk, these are benchmarks that show that they're learning and growing. Likewise, we as Christians must learn how to walk the walk that God has called us to. We must learn how to follow Christ. We must learn how to grow, how to develop in Him. Now, some of you might not be interested, perhaps. I hope you are. I hope you're interested in learning how to grow in Christ. Perhaps you are content with your progress. And you've sat down in your spiritual self and you're, well, I've arrived and I don't need to learn any. You're wrong. We continue to grow in Christ until the day he gathers us home. Don't ever grow complacent in your walk with God. Perhaps you're backslidden and in a rut. Maybe you're in a rut and you say, well, I just do my thing and the same old thing that I've always done, and that's okay. No, it's not okay. I had a pastor years ago. He said, do you know what a rut is? A rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. It's true. We cannot allow ourselves to get in a rut. We must continue to grow in Him. And there's always something, there is always something for you to learn in Christ. Amen. There's always something that God wants to do in you. If your desire is to please God, if you desire to serve Him, if you desire to grow in Him, this morning is for you. And Paul starts in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, "Be ye therefore followers of Christ, of God, as dear children," we are His children, "and walk in love." Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us. Walk in love. If we're going to walk with God, we have to learn how to walk in love. After all, it doesn't matter how I walk as long as I walk, right? No, that's not right. God doesn't want you just to walk, but to walk in love. Understand that the whole gospel is couched, is based, the foundation of it is love, the love of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His Son." This is how God has showed His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's all founded on the love of God, and He desires for us to live in love as well. Know this morning that the primary reason we are saved is due to the love that God has for us. In spite of our flaws, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sins, God has loved us. And His grace has been showered down upon us. Now, if we took a poll, there would be several different reasons why we have come to Christ, why we have asked Him to forgive us. Some are saved out of fear. Back in the century past and beyond, people were saved by the groves out of the fear of the judgment of God. Perhaps you're aware of the sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." Some of you lived in those days when fire and brimstone. Some of you are smiling. Yes, it's true. But you know, that's not how God wants us to live. It's not even actually how God wants us to come to Him. Some are saved out of pressure. Maybe you've been stopped by somebody on the street and they've shared the gospel with you. And if, you know, the old saying is, you were buttonholed. They grabbed a hold of you and they were not going to let you loose until you gave your heart to Christ. There's a story of the early church about 400 or 500 A.D., a column of soldiers went into a village and they preached the gospel and then they said, "Now, who wants to get saved? Who wants to give their heart to Christ?" And all, and none of the villagers, none of them responded. So they pulled their sword and had them all kneel down and they put their sword at their neck and says, "Are you sure about that? Who wants to give their heart to Christ?" All of them. "Well, if you're going to put it that way, if you're going to put a sword at my neck, I suppose I will." And so they all prayed a sinner's prayer, and they all, you know, the soldiers all rejoiced, and they got in their column and marched back out. And as soon as they left, every one of those recanted their faith because they had been pressured, intimidated. It's not how we get people into the kingdom. We don't put a sword at their throat. We share the love of Christ with them. Saved out of love. Some are saved out of guilt. Well, all right. But it's God's intent that we would be saved because of the love of God. When we realize the depth of God's love and the extent of God's love, the richness of God's love, then we naturally want to praise Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I give You my life." Now, if love plays such a huge part of our salvation, it should play a huge part as well in how we then live or walk. And I will tell you this truth, that if we're going to effectively reach others for Christ, we will accomplish it through the love of God. Not by forcing people to the ground, not by intimidating them or scaring them, but by loving them in Christ. You do realize that you will not persuade another or convince another or argue another into the kingdom. That's not how it's done. It's done through love. That's God's way, is through love. Not only is love important for sharing God to others, love is important in proving our faith. By showing love, you are proving that you actually are one of God's children, because God is love. And if you're one of His children, you also will live or walk in love. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as God's children. Walk in love. According to John 13:35, it is proof of a discipleship in Him. You will show that you're His disciples by loving one another. 1 John 3:14, it's proof that we have gone from death unto life, and that God has begun a new life in us. 1 Peter 1:22, it's proof of the Holy Spirit in residence in us, because He's all about love. In short, the walk of love will affect us. The walk of love will affect you in that it will develop in you a greater concern for others. It'll develop in you a greater kindness in our action and speech. It will have an effect on the judgmentalness that we tend to have, or the self-righteousness that we tend to have. We'll have compassion on others as Christ had compassion on them. You begin to read the Gospels, how many times does it say, and He had compassion on them? Love in action. The walk of love. We will show greater compassion for those who are in trouble. That's God's way. And God would like to develop that in us. He desires for us to imitate Christ and do and to act and to say what we know He would say if He was standing there. Go ahead, Leonard. Now in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The same is true. Some of your translations say walk as children of light. Paul spends the next several verses on this command concerning light versus darkness. Light speaking of the righteousness or the truth of God. We have to walk in love, but we also have to walk in the truth of God's word. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. His word will always be truth. It does not waver, it does not end. So while we are walking in love, we are challenged also to walk in light, the truth of God's word. Romans chapter 13, I think you have that, don't you? Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Keep going. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put away the old things that are not appropriate in Christ and begin to walk in the truth of God's word. In the light of God's word. Go ahead, Leonard. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. One more. You have it? Nope. That's fine. The difference between light and dark. We are called no longer to live in the dark, but to live in the light of God's word, the light of God's truth. Now, if we do go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, he continues along this line, and I think Leonard does have this. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. None of that darkness stuff. After all, now you're a child of light. Or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. They're no longer appropriate for us. Because now we're the children of God. Not as a source of condemnation for others, not as a source of self-righteousness. Except him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Do you have another one? No. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, there you go. For you were once darkness, but now you are light of the world. Live as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. One more, Leonard. And find out what pleases the Lord. No longer live as it pleases you. We do no longer live to please ourselves. We live to please God. Because the life we now live is in Him, not in ourselves. It goes on to say that which is done in secret will be made plain. Whether we do what is right or wrong, pleasing to God or not, all will be exposed in the light. All will be exposed by the light of God's word and in His Spirit. You do know that Jesus is the light, and Jesus knows how we walk, how we live. Therefore, walk to please Him. Live to please Him. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in light. We have one more, verses 15 and 16. You have it? Yes, 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And the same is true, if you'll go back to 15 one more time. Make, back one, please. Be very careful then how you, as some translations say, walk. So we're to live in love. We're to live in the light, God's word. But we're also supposed to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Well, how does a wise person walk? First, very carefully. You walk carefully. You don't put yourself in positions that are going to be harmful to you. Tragically, a young man a few weeks ago, perhaps you have heard of it, he was at the coast beautiful scenery, the oceans, the trees, all of that. And he climbed over a wall, climbed up into a branch of a tree so that he could take a picture of himself out hanging out over the ocean. And you guessed it, the limb broke. He fell hundreds of feet to his death. Now, why would you take that chance? There's a reason they put the wall. There's a reason they put the gate. But having lived on the coast for many years, every year people perish because they climb over the wall, they go through the gate, they're putting themselves in harm's way. Well, I ask you the same is true. I say to you, the same is true for us. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Don't place yourself in situations where you're going to be tempted. Why would you want to live in such a way that you're tempted? Don't do that. Secondly, a wise person walks with their eyes open. I would encourage you, as you walk down the street, don't close your eyes and walk down the street. You could fall in a hole, and the grate is gone, and you could walk out into the street and get hit by a car. You got to have your eyes open. Well, spiritually, we have to walk with our eyes open as well. Noticing what is going on around us, taking note of the evil that is around us, taking note of the sin, taking note of the destruction that it brings. Have you ever seen the monkeys? Some of them are sitting here, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Maybe you've seen the monkeys. God doesn't call us to be monkeys. We are to take note of it so that we don't fall into that. Not to partake, not to indulge, but in order to avoid. Living as wise, not as foolish. God wants us to have our eyes open, not only to those things, but to people's needs. Open to the will of God in our lives. Sensitive now to the signs of the times, because you do realize that Jesus is coming soon. You do understand that, right? Time is short. Realize that the opportunities are few to share your faith with those around you. Opportunities are limited. Know that the situation is serious and that it's not a game. One of my great disappointments in life. I was working at a fast food place. And we were closers. We worked till closing and then cleaned up and then went home. One of my fellow workers come up to me and she said, you're a youth pastor, right? And I says, yes, I am. She says, then you could tell me about Jesus and how to give my life to him. And I said, why, yes, I could. And about that time, we really got a lot of customers. And it's not appropriate to take the boss's time and his money. So I said, we'll talk at the end of our shift. She said, okay. And we went about our business, and then we cleaned, and at the close of that, she said, you know, I'm really tired. I says, yeah, I'm pretty tired too. She says, we'll talk tomorrow. I'll come early tomorrow, you come early, and I want to hear about this. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about how to do this. All right, it's a deal. The next afternoon I came in and everyone was kind of sad. And I said, what's going on? And they named her by name. And they says, you realize that on the way home from work last night, she wrapped her car around a telephone pole and she died. We have limited opportunities to share. He calls us to walk in love. On the other hand, he tells us to walk in light. He calls us to walk wisely, understanding the dangers, but also understanding and accepting the opportunities that he places in front of us, and not to disregard them, accepting that it is a limited offer. Sometimes the opportunities are more limited than we could imagine. I encourage you to seize the day. And when the Spirit moves on you to share him with somebody around you, seize that opportunity. Thankfully, because of the grace of God in our lives, God is able. And his grace is sufficient for forgiveness. His grace is sufficient for restoration. Seize the day. Seize the day to walk in love and to walk in light and to walk in wisdom. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for your love, for your grace.